in black and white. Kill and Gareth were checking all the places I would usually go to. Clubs, another fighting ring, the Serpents. No shit, they actually knocked on the Serpent's door and were like, "Hi, I know we hate each other, but have you seen this massive idiot motherfucker who's covered in tattoos?" I didn't make that up. Gaz relayed it back, word for word. My sisters were going crazy, calling me all night. Maya left a dozen VMs screaming and then begging and crying. Jesus Christ.
"Where were you, really?"
she asks as we sit in her favorite coffee shop downtown.
"Spill, Nico."
Her twin Mia signs with more attitude than need be.
"Yes, spill, cousin. What made you disappear all night long?"
Killian, who's sporting a black eye, asks, lounging back in his chair. "Busy," I say, while sipping some disgustingly not sweet enough coffee, then add one more sugar cube. Make that three. Maya gasps in outrage and flips her long hair over her bare shoulder while Mia stares at me with a concerned frown. My sisters couldn't be more different. Where Maya is a self-proclaimed diva with expensive taste and a thirst for attention, Mia is a little daredevil who couldn't care less about people's opinions and doesn't shy away from flipping her favorite middle finger. Even now, as they sit on either side of me, they look nothing alike, despite being identical twins. Maya wears a strapless top, a tight skirt, and high heel stilettos. Mia is in a goth Barbie black dress, complete with lace and shit, a choker around her neck, blue ribbons in her hair, and gigantic chainy boots covering her feet. Sometimes I forget they're actually identical because they have vastly different personalities. Guess that's also the reason why I can't fucking stand Landon, but would fuck his brother to eternity all day, every day. My dick twitches to life, and I curse internally. Seriously, Kolya? The fuck? My baby sisters are here. Behave yourself, dude.
"What made you too busy to reply to our texts?"
Maya asks.
"I had a mini breakdown."
Judging by her begging for me to come back through sniffs and tears, I'd say it was a major breakdown. But I don't tell her that. I sip my now sickeningly sweet coffee and contemplate an answer that's not, "I was busy having the best fuck of my life." Not only is that insensitive when they really had a scare, but also there's that annoying tidbit where Bran said no one could know. Still, I don't have to identify him. Nope. It's better I reveal nothing, since I'm shit with secrets. If I reveal something, I'll end up blurting out everything, and that could seriously end things between us before they even start. "I went somewhere to cool down," I say, and it's not a lie, although cooling down wasn't the first item on my list.
"Sure thing, Nico. Kick my face in, then go cool down as if nothing happened."
"Hey, you wanted that fight. Don't go blaming me, Satan's heir."
"I told you not to hurt my face, you little fuck."
"Yeah, Nico."
Maya grins mischievously.
"That's the only thing his girlfriend likes."
He grins back.
"At least she likes something. You, however, seem to be out of luck with the person you like."
I narrow my eyes. "Who do you like, Maya?"
"No one,"
she says, her voice a bit high-pitched.
"You know how Kill likes to talk shit."
He searches his surroundings.
"Moi?"
Mia inches to my side, ignoring their bickering, and watches me closely as she signs.
"Are you really okay?"
I ruffle her hair. "Never been better, baby sis." Her expression eases, and she hugs me. I know not to take her affection for granted. I'm close to both my sisters, Maya because I let her practice her makeup skills on me when we were growing up. But Mia is special. We both deal with our demons in our own ways, and know we'll slaughter each other's enemies if given the chance. She's badass like that, my sister.
"Incoming boy toy,"
Killian says with apparent disdain. For a second, I'm confused as to why Bran would be here and why Kill knows about him, only to remember my lotus flower isn't a boy toy, and there's no way in hell my cousin figured out things. Sure enough, Maya is pulled away from my side and a slender, pretty guy sits on my lap, batting his lashes. "Missed you, Daddy."
"Ew, you're so cringe," Kill says.
"Can't believe I'm agreeing with Kill, but you so are."
Maya jams her finger in her mouth and makes a vomiting sound. Simon holds out a palm without looking at them. "Talk to the hand, bitches."
Get off, and don't call my sister a bitch or I'll choke the fuck out of you.
Love it when you choke me, Daddy.
Jesus, I'm getting flashbacks. Do I sound this desperate when I talk to Bran?
You're like a year younger than him,
Maya says.
In what world is he your daddy?
Daddy is a state of mind, ignorant. Simon, stand up before I knock you off, I say. But I missed you. You haven't been replying to my texts. I'm so lonely without you. He leans in to whisper in my ear. I can't wait to have your monster cock rail me all the way to heaven, Daddy. I swear, this used to do something for me. Now he's just annoying and clingy. You're annoying and clingy too in someone else's eyes. I start to push him away, but pause when I sense eyes digging holes into my skull. Who has the audacity to glare at me? I lift my head and my gaze clashes with none other than Bran's. He stands at the cashier with his cousin Creighton and friend Remington. The latter is talking animatedly. Creighton doesn't seem to be listening, but Bran's entire attention is on me. Fuck me. He's watching me, openly, his body turned in my direction as he narrows his eyes on me. And for a second, I think he'll come over here and remove Simon or something. I think he'll stake a public claim on me. Instead, his walls build around him one by one. That stupid fucking fake smile curves his lips as he turns to his friends, grabs his drink, and walks out of the coffee shop as if nothing happened. As if he didn't even see me. That fucking rage swirls inside me, and I knock Simon over, needing to peel his fingers from my clothes before he finally lets go. I'm thankful to Maya and Mia, who stop him from following me, because I can't be responsible for his safety if he gets in the middle of the hurricane coiling inside me. By the time I get outside, there's no trace of Bran. Motherfucking fucker. I pull out my phone to send him a text, and then stop. What the fuck will I say? Offer excuses? Why the fuck would I when he obviously doesn't give a fuck? Jesus fucking Christ. I feel myself spiraling down that black hole. Fuck this. I need to find Jeremy and go on a goddamn hunt. Either that or I will actually hunt my prince not fucking charming down. And I'm not that desperate. 18. Nikolai. At the end of the day, I'm spent. Violence might be frowned upon by a bunch of ethical elites, but it's actually the only method that manages to calm me down. But that's not exactly the case right now. I should have stayed at the mansion and bugged Jeremy for another mission, to give myself something to do, but I found myself driving my Harley to the penthouse. The moment I step out of the elevator, I sense something different. No. I smell it, or more accurately, him. Clover, citrus, and a fucking conundrum. Sure enough, Bran is sitting on the sofa, legs wide apart, elbows on his knees, and his fingers forming a steeple at his chin. God fucking damn it. He's hot. I can barely stop myself from reaching over and messing up his perfectly styled hair and put together dark blue polo shirt and khaki pants. Mr. GQ reporting for fucking duty. Upon seeing me, however, he doesn't seem to be here for round two. His expression is calm and composed, but I can sense the waves of a malicious storm whirling beneath. Still, I take an immense amount of pride in the fact that he let himself in for the second night in a row.
I got you something.
He reaches into his pants and throws something at my chest. I catch it and then frown. A pack of condoms?
Figured you'd need it so you don't give people STIs.
What? He stands up with the same infuriating calm.
Good night, then.
Wait. The moment I touch his wrist, he whirls around fast and slams me against the wall with an elbow on my throat.
Don't fucking touch me.
He grits out, his lips so close to mine, he almost kisses me with every word. I suppress a groan at how fucking sexy he looks when he's enraged. I take a shit ton of pride in the fact that I'm the only one who sees this side of him, rugged at the edges and different from the golden boy image he wears in public. He's perfect to the outside world, but himself with me.
So what do? What I do best, of course, provoke him more. Are you mad about something, my lotus flower? Maybe a certain scene you saw earlier today?
Who the fuck do you think you are that I would notice you?
Oh, but you did. My fingers dig into his nape. It's why you're losing your precious control right now. Tell me, Bran, are you jealous?
Jealous? Over you? Not in this lifetime.
In that case, should I call Simon to join us? That's his name, by the way, Simon. He's gay and loves threesomes. Or maybe you could sit down and watch as I rail him. He lifts his fist and punches me in the face. Oh, fuck. He's really losing it. My Prince Charming. More. Give me more. I grin up at him. I take that as a no.
I'm going to fucking kill you.
Promises, promises.
Nikolai!
Yes, baby?
Don't baby me. In fact, we're done.
He releases me with a shove.
Go to your Simon.
Fuck no. I clutch him by the wrist, then shove the condoms back in his hand. I'm clean, asshole. I wouldn't have done that to you or anyone. In fact, I only fuck with condoms. Last night was the only exception. He faces me, his eyes dark and shining with rage.
Was Simon also an exception?
No, besides, I haven't been with anyone since the initiation.
No one?
I shake my head. What about you? Should we get you tested, considering the Clara situation?
I'm tested and clean. I haven't had sex for 6 months.
Fuck me. Holy fucking hell. I knew he only got back with her just to mess with me. I knew he didn't want her. I knew it. My grin is wide as I stroke his nape. Did I mention that you're so adorable when you're jealous?
Shut your fucking mouth, Nikolai.
As you wish, baby. I press my lips to his, teasing at first, and then bite down and breach his mouth with a growl. He puffs out a shuddering breath, and I swallow it deep in my throat. Christ! It doesn't matter how many times I kiss him, it always feels like it's the first time. His taste explodes in my mouth, and I inhale him deep in my fucking lungs and keep him there. He tastes of tea, citrus, and lust as fucked up as mine. I push him toward the bedroom and we stumble inside, his fingers tugging on my hair, removing the bands so he can mess it all up. I enjoy every spark of pain, every push and fucking pull. He can shove me away all he wants, but I'll trap him again, own him again. Once we're inside, I make quick work of removing his t-shirt and run my gaze over his smooth muscles that are only tainted by my marks. You're so hot, baby. I want to lick you up. He tugs my hoodie off, his fingers touching my chest, exploring my muscles.
I fucking hate you.
Talk dirty to me. I nibble on his bottom lip and drag his zipper down over his hard cock, agonizingly slowly. I torture him, reveling in every shudder and tormented sound that slips out of him. Bran squeezes my dick through my pants, then loosens his fingers, slides his hand in, and fists my length, stroking me with a tight grip. Fuck, baby. Your hand feels so good. He leans over and whispers in my ear.
Better than Simon.
Better than anyone. I fight the grin that's rushing to the surface as I kiss his throat and suck on his Adam's apple. He hisses between his teeth and cocks his head to the side to give me better access. I continue my way down, kissing, nibbling, and biting on his collarbone and nipples until he's shaking, but he keeps stroking me with a firm grip. Still feasting on one nipple, I pull out his cock, teasing the foreskin with my thumb until I find the opening, then push it against my crown and guide him to thrust me against his cock.
Fuck.
He breathes out, his lips parted as my piercings dig into the pretty hole, and I fuck his cock with mine. That feel good, baby? He nods, but I don't think he's conscious of what he's doing as he falls in rhythm with me. His lips find mine and he kisses me loudly. The wet, sucking sounds match the in and out of our pre-cum mixing as we leak all over each other. How can the asshole be so pliant when his body talks to mine? He acts as if I'm invisible outside, but when I'm touching him, kissing him, he's all mine. Mine for the taking, mine for the owning, fucking mine. I have to get inside you, baby. I pull away and drag him toward the bed. Bran doesn't protest as I push him to a kneeling position in front of the bed, his chest on the mattress and his muscled ass in the air. Stay like that. I slap his ass cheek, and I don't miss the way he bites his lip as he follows my movement. After I grab the lube from the drawer, I slip behind him and squirt it between his ass cheeks. My fingers circle his rim, then slide inside at the musical sound of his groan. My Prince Charming loves having his ass filled, whether by my fingers or my cock. I can feel his hole swallowing my three fingers, clenching and pulling and tempting my fucked up side. But I take my time priming him for me. I slowly fuck him with my fingers, my cock sliding up and down the crack of his ass as I pepper kisses on his nape, his spine, and his ass cheeks, kissing and nibbling and leaving so many of my marks he'll never be able to remove them. Not now, not ever. Mine. He's fucking mine. And everyone who sees these marks will know he's taken, owned, fucking claimed.
Nico.
Jesus fucking Christ, I have to pause and shake my head or I'll come all over his ass like a fucking pubescent kid. I'm fucking doomed. He moans my name and I'm going feral. Yes, baby.
Do it, please.
Do what?
Put your cock inside me.
Fuck. I wrench out my fingers and pull his ass cheeks apart. Say it again.
Just fuck me already, you fucking bastard.
You drive me fucking crazy, baby. I nudge my crown inside and he jerks, his ass wiggling against my cock, trying to swallow me fucking whole. Your greedy ass is made for me. I thrust all the way in, eliciting a growl from him. Only me.
Fuck. Fuck.
Look at me, baby. Bran twists his head to the side, his hooded eyes meeting mine as I grab his hips and drive forward with shallow thrusts. That's it. Feel me fucking you. He moans, the sound so fucking erotic, I'm surprised I last. Bran might be quiet, but he's fucking loud in bed. He releases these blabbering noises that I can't understand most of the time, but that means I'm fucking him good. I'm fucking him rough, like he wants, and I go feral for it. There's something about owning a standoffish, uptight asshole like Bran. It's thrilling, but also rewarding. The fact that I'm the only one who can see him fall apart on my cock is better than any drug.
Harder,
he mutters, his hips jerking as he rubs his cock against the bed. What was that?
Fuck me harder. Don't take it easy on me.
Baby, if you keep talking like that, I'll break your ass.
Promises, promises.
I burst out laughing, and he smiles, but it morphs into a grunt when I pull out until only my crown is inside and then drive all the way in. The headboard bangs against the wall from the force of it.
Oof. Fuck.
You like that? He loses the battle and buries his head in the sheets, nodding and releasing muffled noises. Keeping one hand on his hip, I reach over and pull him back by a fistful of his hair. Eyes on me when I fuck you. You want it hard, right? He nods, his face turning red, lips parted. Kiss me, baby. He tugs on my lower lip with his teeth and plunges his tongue into my mouth as I drive into him with the intensity of a madman. The sound of his ass slapping against my groin fills the air and obliterates my sanity. I fuck him hard. I fuck him deep until he's blathering in my mouth, releasing noises and words I don't think he even knows the meaning of. I love the way he completely lets go when my lips meet his. I love the way his muscles grip me like a vice, milking and swallowing me whole.
Your piercings.
He grunts, voice hoarse against my mouth as he reaches for his dick and strokes himself savagely. What about them, baby?
They feel so fucking good. Fuck! You feel so fucking good, Nico!
I'm done for. A goner, absolutely decimated. My hips jerk and I drive into him faster, harder, rougher, the way he likes it. Come with me, baby. He groans, releasing a long moan as he works himself faster, matching my crazy rhythm.
I'm fuck!
His words end in a growl as his skin flushes and his lips part, his cum spraying all over the bed. I devour his noises with my lips, and he shudders, but he keeps rolling his hips and slapping his ass against my groin as I empty inside him with a groan. Fucking fuck, baby. I breathe out as I bite his lower lip, and he bites back with the same animalistic energy. His beast matches mine as he kisses me with a similar fever, still moving against me and milking me from my orgasm. We keep kissing for some time, until I realize the uncomfortable position he's trapped in. He doesn't complain about that, but he does protest when I wrench my lips from his and pull out of his ass. His hole clenches around me, and I moan at the feel of him. Jesus Christ. I can survive on fucking him alone. My gaze follows the cum that spills out of him, trickling down his thighs and smearing his balls and spent cock. I kneel behind him, pull his ass cheeks apart, and feast on the cum, licking and fucking it back inside him.
Nico, what are you... Oh, fuck. Jesus. Fuck.
He wiggles, but I slam a hand on his lower back to keep him in place. Stay still, baby. We can't waste any cum. I rumble against his rim and he shudders as I lick every drop clean. By the time I'm done, his voice has turned hoarse and his cock is getting thicker by the second. He's sluggish as he turns on his back, his skin flushed red. A sheen of sweat covers him and his face is caught in a pleased daze. I lick my lips and his gaze falls to them. I can't help staring at his swollen mouth.
You'll kiss me?
He asks cautiously, hopefully even. I'll always kiss you, baby. I fall on top of him, my lips crushing to his, my chest pressing on his muscles and our limbs entangling. Brand slurps on my tongue, drinking me, tasting me as he tosses my hair and messes it the fuck up. The kiss is sloppy at best, but it's fucking erotic. I've never kissed anyone after sex, but it's vital with Bran. I have to kiss him to feel him, to get beneath his skin and dismantle him. Kissing had no meaning before this motherfucker. Now it's the damn center of my existence. Want us to be exclusive? I ask against his mouth. The lust slowly withers from his face, replaced by whatever demons that force him into autocratic control. I curse myself for ruining the moment. He blinks a few times and pushes me away.
You're crushing me.
I scoot to the side, falling back on the bed and propping myself up on my elbow. You weren't complaining about me crushing you when you had your tongue hooked on mine.
Jesus.
He stands up. And I follow so that I'm in front of him. What do you say?
About what?
He faces away, seeming distracted as he studies his surroundings, looking anywhere but at me. You fucking heard me, Bran. Want us to be exclusive?
Why would I? I don't want a relationship with you.
Motherfucker. I can't believe I was fucking this guy a few seconds ago. Now I want to drive my fist in his goddamn face. So I can go fuck Simon and the dozens of others waiting in my contact list? This time he whirls around and faces me, that menacing danger dancing in his coral blue eyes. Yes, baby, feed me your fire.
Fuck another person and we're over, Nikolai.
That's the definition of exclusive. Would it kill you to admit you want that?
Fine,
Whatever.
He starts to head to the bathroom, but I clutch his wrist.
Now what?
He asks, watching me slowly. Why are you so adamant about hiding your sexuality? Being bi or gay isn't a taboo, you know. This isn't the 60s.
None of your business.
You're such a dick. I'm just asking.
Well, don't. I told you this is just physical, so stay in your lane. My problem with my sexuality is my own. If you can't accept that, I can go somewhere else.
Like fuck you will. I grab him by the throat and relish the pop of his pulse beneath my fingers. My cock is the only cock you'll sit on. Got it, baby?
You need to stop talking to me in that language.
But you enjoyed this language a few minutes ago.
I give up. Let me go so I can shower.
Can I join?
No.
Are you going to run away again?
I'm not running away. I'm leaving.
I let him go with an exasperated breath, and I expect him to fuck off to the bathroom, but he faces me.
Don't do this, Nikolai. I'll see you in the morning.
I release an affirmative noise, and he smiles, but it's tight, like my fucking insides. He opens his mouth to say something else, but he shakes his head and slips into the bathroom, closing the door behind him with a fucking lock. Locking me out. Figuratively. Literally.
19. Brandon. A bit longer than 2 weeks pass in the most bemusing blur. What started like a temporary loss of control has categorically turned into the most tragic addiction. Every night, I say I won't go to the penthouse, and I manage to hold out for a few days. Nightmare-riddled, completely sleepless, and absolutely torturous days. I bury myself in the studio, in practice, in being outside of my skin. Day in and day out, I manage to lie to myself for a few hours, only to relapse to daunting bad habits again. The blood and the penthouse. Both are dangerous addictions of different proportions. Both are pulling me apart and leaving me completely desolate and unable to look at the distorted face in the mirror anymore. Only one addiction can actually lead to my decimation. One addiction forces me to forget everything else whenever he's in my vicinity. Whenever he touches me, kisses me, fucks me. I pretend my outer skin doesn't exist. I'm not Brandon King. I'm not the broken entity who sees black ink instead of his reflection in the mirror. Not the weak man who's more often than not swallowed by disgusting nausea and the terrifying notion of nothingness. I'm just me. His lotus flower. His Prince Charming. His baby. But that vacuum of emotions only lasts for the duration of the mindless release and the unbound lust. It lasts until I lose his touch, and I'm forced back into my own skin. I do the forcing, every time. I just rip off the plaster and walk away. But it's getting harder to willingly lose his lips, his touch. I'm almost scared of that moment, when I have to lock myself in the bathroom and battle my demons. They're rather vicious lately. The more I enjoy myself, the more painful the aftermath. But it's not as painful as forcing myself away from that damn penthouse. It's not as painful as waking up every day and having this queasy feeling in my stomach because I know he's waiting outside the mansion's gate, grinning. Nikolai isn't really a cheerful man. I've seen him outside, multiple times, even though I like to pretend I don't. And yes, he's loud, but not in Remy's carefree, funny way. He's notoriously violent and curses a lot. Killian often kicks him so he'll shut up. Or Jeremy will whisper or speak to him calmly, so he'll stop drawing attention or rein in his infamous bursts of violence. He doesn't show them the version he shows me. Always smiling, grinning, and being an infuriating ray of sunshine, as if my mere presence makes him happy. That part boggles my mind. Why would he be happy with me when I can't stand myself most of the time? No matter how often I ask that question, I can't quite find an answer. Still, I enjoy whatever I get, even if it hurts. Even if every day I want to watch the blood endlessly flow out of my wrist. Today is one of those days. I didn't go to Nikolai's penthouse yesterday, and I feel like I'm sucking breaths through a straw. I stare at my painting and feel the urge to topple it over and light it on fire. The perfect silhouette of a mountain and a lake that I've been working on for weeks feels fake, completely at odds with what my fingers actually want to create. I've made more paintings that I don't want to admit exist, but this perfectly manicured scenery has been a fucking struggle to work on. Mum said maybe it's because I'm not focused, but what she doesn't know is that I couldn't have been any more focused. It's just that this thing feels wrong. Painting landscapes has been my crutch for years, my way to avoid creating anything with eyes, but it's not working anymore. If anything, I'm starting to see them in the same light land does. Pathetic, mediocre, unoriginal, boring, boring, fucking boring. I pull out my phone and stare at the text I sent Nikolai earlier today, because he didn't join me on my run this morning. The first time he didn't, the day of that fight, I felt a hollowness so deep, I didn't know how to explain it. That hole got bigger the following day and I ignored it. Today, however, I had trouble breathing. The twat has left his mark in every corner of our running path, with his endless questions and shameless flirting, so that I can't go there without feeling his shadow. Why did he make it a habit if he wasn't going to keep it up? So I sent him a text. Me. Slept in.
Nikolai. Nope.
Then why didn't you come over?
Missed me?
You wish. He left me on red, the audacity of the bastard. Me. Are you ignoring me?
Nikolai. Doesn't feel so good when the roles are switched, huh? And to answer your question, I borrowed a page from the Brandon Asshole Dictionary and decided not to show up for the fuck of it, just like you ghosted me last night.
We never agreed that I'll be there every night.
Then be here every night, just like I go to see you every day.
I can't. You know that.
I know nothing.
You're being ridiculous.
Me? Ridiculous? Jesus fucking Christ. Have you seen your hypocritical face in the mirror lately?
I do. Every day. I have to force myself away from him to see that fucking black hole in solitude. And his pointing it out doesn't make me feel any better about this damn situation. Breathe. Fucking breathe. Me. This is going nowhere. Let's stop talking.
Nikolai. And you're back to your favorite hobby. Runaway, baby. You're a champion of that bullshit. You know what? Fuck that. If you don't feel the need to come over every night, I also don't need to see you every morning. In fact, don't show me your fucking face today.
As if I want to see your fucking face.
Fucking great.
Wonderful.
Awesome.
Fantastic. He left me on red. Again. Nikolai never leaves me on red. I keep checking the exchange, every half an hour like a junkie, but there's nothing from him. No stupid, entertaining story of the day. No memes. No dick pics that he loves to send at the most random times. It's late evening, around the hour when I'd usually sneak out of the house and go to him like a druggie in need of a hit. But I doubt he's there today. Besides, he doesn't want to see my fucking face anyway. Good grief. My hand finds the back of my neck, and I tug on the fine hairs until pain explodes all over my skin. But it's not enough. It doesn't hurt enough or provide enough relief. I'm neurotic. My brain ticking and my skin prickling at the lack of him. I really went ahead and made myself addicted, didn't I? The impulse to destroy the painting in front of me tingles under my skin, and I'm about to give in when my phone buzzes in my hand. My heart lurches, and I'm taken aback by the force of my reaction. Right. He can't stay away. After all, he's the one who's obsessed with me. I'll forgive him for acting like a thick cow. My heart falls when I find out it's a text from Annika, but it's for a different reason than disappointment.
Ani, hey, don't be alarmed, okay? But there was a fire in the heathen's mansion, and Cray came to save me, but he got himself in trouble with the others. He's okay, just unconscious. Can you and Remy come to pick him up?
The heathen's mansion is in full chaos. Half of it is burned and almost unrecognizable. A madness of students, firefighters, and medics crowd the circular driveway. But Remy and I manage to carry an unconscious Cray out and to the car. Annie is with us every step of the way. Her face is covered in snot and smoke, and she's wearing Cray's hoodie. She seems distraught, her usual cheerful expression muted, and her eyes don't leave Cray, even after he's in the back seat. I lean against my car and pretend to watch the firefighters, the heathen's guards, and any individual who comes into my vicinity. However, no matter how much I search, I can't find a trace of Nikolai. The lump that I haven't quite been able to swallow remains unmoving at the back of my throat, obstructing my breathing. Maybe he's not here. Maybe he's in the penthouse. But even I know that's wishful thinking. Pretending to be nonchalant, I face Annie. Is everyone else okay? That sounded innocent enough.
Jer got hurt.
She sniffles, tears gathering in her eyes. I'm sure he'll be fine, Annie. Remy rubs her shoulder. I can't even bring myself to comfort her as the doomsday feeling spreads in my brain like wildfire. He's always with Jeremy. So what if? What if?
If it weren't for Nikolai and Cray, I don't know what would have happened to him.
Annika says with a sniffle. Nikolai helped. I take an obscene amount of pride in how collected I sound.
Yeah, he barged in with his smoke masks and stuff like a bull.
She smiles, but it soon drops.
I don't like that he beat up Cray, though.
I release a breath. If he has the energy to hit someone, that means he's fine. My gaze flits to Cray, who's probably unconscious because of that fucker. Jesus. After we say our goodbyes, I'm about to get in the car when I feel the hairs on the back of my neck stand on end. I don't know why I do it, but I look up at the balcony where I first saw the heathens and Nikolai on that initiation night. It feels like forever ago. One thing hasn't changed, though. He's still far away. It doesn't matter how many times I touch him, how many times I kiss him. At the end of the day, we go back to our respective worlds. And who made it that way? Genius. Nikolai's hair is loose, haphazard strands framing his face and flying in the wind. Smudges of black cover his cheeks, his nose, and his naked chest. He's crossing his arms and watching me with narrowed eyes. I run my gaze over him and he seems okay. Probably. Nikolai slams both hands on the railing, fingers tightening around the metal, and leans forward as if he wants a better look at me. Even from this distance, I can almost feel his muscles tightening.
Bran!
I startle and turn my attention to Remy, who's frowning.
What are you looking at?
Shit. Fuck. Was I too obvious?
Nothing,
I say in my eternally calm tone.
Let's get Cray home.
I'm thankful that Remy follows without a word. When I steal another look at Nikolai, his expression is murderous as he slips back inside. Remy talks all the way home about how inhumane the heathens are for hurting his spawn, and I'm thankful that he fills the silence. But nothing could dull the tension in my shoulders. We manage to carry Creighton to his room, and he soon wakes up and tells us he's okay. Remy refuses to leave, but once I make sure my cousin is fine, I slip back to my room and pace the length of it as I fetch my phone. Me. Are you okay?
Nikolai, you ask as if you care.
Don't be like this, I'm asking if you're okay. Can you just answer the question?
You could have asked in person, but that would kill you, right?
I close my eyes and pull at the hairs at the back of my neck.
Nikolai, if I say I'm not okay, will you come to the penthouse?
Me? If you want me to, yeah.
Then I'm not okay.
On my way.
I'll be there in an hour or so. I have some shit to do here first.
Should you be doing anything if you're not okay?
Love it when you worry about me, baby. See you.
I want to tell him I'm not worried, but even I don't want to send that lie. The drive to the penthouse is only 15 minutes. I wait on the sofa as usual and turn on the telly, then settle on one of the late-night reruns of Agatha Christie's adaptations. Unable to stay still, I stand up to fetch a bottle of beer from the fridge. He started stocking it up and ordering groceries that he knows nothing about. I told him to stop after the first time and began to buy my own groceries. I usually make him something before I leave, breakfast or dinner, depending on how late it is. I guess a part of me is trying to make up for how I leave every night when he doesn't seem like he wants me to. He doesn't say that out loud, but I can feel the crushing disappointment in his voice whenever he asks,
"You leaving?"
Every night, every time, as if he expects the answer to change. And every night it gets harder to say, "Yeah," or, "You know I am." So I just nod now, and even that is excruciatingly difficult. Watching the murder mystery that I've learned by heart at this point, I give up on the beer and prepare a quiche in case he's hungry. I've always loved cooking and used to do it with Dad all the time. Mum isn't much of a cook, and neither are Glyn and Lan. Dad and I are bonded over cooking. He often told me it's an art, and he only learned it to ensure his place in Mum's heart. She'll eat other people's food and be like, "Nah, no one can cook like my Levi." Watch and learn, son. The best way to chain someone to you for life is to own their stomach. I smile to myself as I methodically mix the ingredients and do everything just right. I guess part of the reason why I love cooking is because it suits my meticulous personality, and it's one of the few things I do better than Lan. After I put the quiche in the oven, I set a timer and clean the kitchen. Nikolai always insists that he has someone who comes over for cleaning, but I just can't stay in a place that's not spotless. He calls me a clean freak, but he doesn't seem to mind. If anything, he'll usually be sitting on the sofa and watching me with a stupid grin. Other times, he tries to help, and that turns into a disaster. He's just too chaotic. Whenever I tell him to do something, he takes a shortcut. He's the type who mixes white and colored clothes and then says,
"Well, they're all clothes. Who cares?"
He drinks milk from the bottle and eats tuna from the can, like a savage. Good grief. I get twitchy eyes just thinking about it. But I guess he does mean well. He asked what my shampoo and body wash are, and then bought them for me. Although, really, I love his body wash. It makes me smell like him. But then again, that's not ideal when I'm trying to keep this whole thing a secret. He also got my hair products and loves watching me get into my Prince Charming look, as he calls it. And he even taught me how to perform an enema. So, that's a thing for gay sex, apparently. The first time he did it for me, and that was interesting. He teased me the whole time while I was face down on the bed, arse in the air, and I might have come. I later found out there's actually another position, and when I confronted him about that, he wasn't apologetic in the least and said,
"But I like that one better."
Twat. By the time I finish cleaning, the oven dings and I turn it off and sit down in front of the telly, watching the happenings of The Murder of Roger Ackroyd. I must fall asleep, because when I open my eyes, my head is lying on a muscled thigh and long fingers are stroking my hair. My heart thumps loud in my chest as I look up at Nikolai's masculine face, his eyes focused on the telly. I can hear the actors speaking, but I can't make out a word. I just know it's still the same murder mystery, which means I haven't been out for long. A part of me is fighting to get up. I hate it when he treats me so delicately, like I'm some girl. It's enough that he fucks me. I'm still not fully comfortable with the fact that I like being fucked by a man. It makes me feel less manly, less normal. But at least I can tune those thoughts out during sex. I can give in to his dominance and relinquish control for a while. It's different when he kisses my nose and eyelids and strokes my hair. It's different when he lays me on his thigh, like now, with one hand resting on the middle of my chest and the other lost in my hair. There's no sex involved, and I don't like how horrifyingly comfortable it feels. Still, I don't attempt to move. I clear my throat. When did you get here? He smiles even before his eyes meet mine.
About 20 minutes ago. Your snoring reached me from the elevator.
I don't snore.
Christ, you should see your offended face.
Well, I don't.
If you say so.
His fingers continue the same soothing rhythm in my hair, lulling me back towards sleep. Are you okay? He slides his other hand from my chest to wrap it around my neck.
I am now.
You lied about being hurt? I ask with a ball lodged in my throat.
I never said I was. I just mentioned that I was not okay.
You clearly are.
No, I'm not. I'm lonely without you, baby.
I suppress a smile. I thought you said you didn't want to see, and I quote, my fucking face.
I lied. I always want to see your face.
I lied too. I whisper, then clear my throat. Can you tell me why you beat up Cray?
We thought he was sent by your fucking brother to burn down the mansion.
Cray wouldn't do that.
But Landon would?
Not personally, no. He likes to delegate his dirty work to others.
Not to Creighton?
I don't think so.
You're not even sure.
Not about that. But what I am sure about is that Cray would not start a fire that would harm Annika. He cares about her. And I really hate it when you hurt my family members.
I won't hurt Creighton again if he doesn't get in the way. Jeremy is injured, and I wasn't thinking straight.
There it is again. That bond with Jeremy that makes me feel strangely hollow. You care about him that much?
Fuck yeah. He's my best bro.
He smiles with nostalgia.
If it weren't for him, I would have gotten myself killed a long time ago. He gets me, you know?
I don't, but I need to change the subject, because this is starting to feel uncomfortable. What happened tonight?
A small disturbance from the serpents. Nothing to worry about.
They burned down your place. How is that nothing to worry about?
We'll get back at them and pummel them to the ground.
Do you have to?
Of course. How else will they learn not to mess with us?
I'm sure there's another way.
There's no other way in the Mafia. It's either kill or be killed. Those little fuckers will one day lead the Bratva branches in Chicago and Boston, so they're challenging us to gain ground. If we back down, we'll look weak.
Sometimes I forget that he's a mafia prince. One day he'll inherit his parents' legacy and live a life that's completely soaked in blood. Do you enjoy it? The violence and paybacks, I mean.
Fuck yeah.
His eyes shine until it's almost blinding.
I feel most like myself when I'm teaching some assholes a lesson or two.
Right.
Don't worry, Lotus Flower, I won't be violent with you. Except sexually, of course, since you love it.
Oh, shut up. He chuckles and jerks his head in the telly's direction.
So what are we watching? Seems dumb.
Agatha Christie is not dumb.
Who's that? An ancient actress?
Nikolai, please tell me you know who Agatha Christie is.
Your godmother?
Crikey. Seriously. She's a famous novelist.
Did she write any of the Marvel movies?
No.
DC?
Of course not.
Tarantino, then?
No.
Never heard of her.
You're seriously an anomaly.
Maybe you are. This shit seems boring. Why are they talking all the time? Where's the action? The cars flying and people jumping in the air.
It's a murder mystery. They talk to give clues about the murderer.
Neat. I'll use this to lull myself to sleep.
I hit his chest even as I suppress a smile. Let me guess. You like action films?
Hell yeah.
But they're mindless.
The more mindless, the better. I'm a simple man. I see good violence. I rate it 5 out of 5.
You need help. He licks his lips, eyes twinkling.
Then help me, baby.
A fire erupts at the base of my stomach and spreads all over my body. I stare at his moist mouth and gulp. You're going to kiss me, aren't you?
I'm starving for your lips.
He dips his head and steals my lips, and I just give in. It's impossible to fight the pull he has on me, and at this moment, I don't want to. We kiss for what seems like hours, tongues stroking and teeth nipping. Only this time, it's not urgent or leading up to sex. Once we break apart, we don't go to the bedroom. We don't tear each other's clothes off. We just stay in that position, with my head on his lap as we watch Agatha Christie. And it feels peaceful. Right. At least until my demons demand that I leave. For now, I just soak in his presence and do what I excel at. Pretend that everything is okay.
20. Nikolai. Let's start a fucking war. That's what I shouted this morning, to which everyone rolled their eyes as if I was being unreasonable, when the fact is, we should have started this war 2 weeks ago, after those fucker serpents thought it was a good idea to attack our home. But I'm cool. I can roll with it. Lie, fucking liar. Except for a little arson and chucking one of their cars down a cliff, I didn't get much action. Fine. So Jared did give me a few targets to eliminate, and I go to the fight club like my life depends on it. But none of that is enough for the war machine brewing inside me. It might also have to do with other particular circumstances that I can't seem to fucking understand anymore. Instead of giving us what we all need, the war, Jared told me to calm down, and Kill said it would be better if he takes me on a walk, to which I replied that I'm not his fucking dog. Still, we walked down the island's cobbled streets, throughout the old town, attracting more attention than necessary. Or more like I do, even though I put a shirt on, for fuck's sake. You need to stop glaring at anyone who looks at you, Kill says with his usual calm, looking every bit the dignified gentleman that he most definitely is not. Maybe they need to stop looking at me, I snarl at a lady who keeps walking and glancing behind her. She runs inside one of the stores as if her ass is on fire. Jeez, Nico, way to scare the locals. This is dumb. Let's go to the fight club where I can beat you the fuck up. Pass. I'm meeting my Glenn, and I can't suffer from a black eye. I stare at him with mock disbelief. Are you telling me your girl is more important than me? Your cousin with whom you grew up? Why is that a question? Of course she is. Kill, you motherfucking, oh please, quit the dramatics. You already have someone who's more important than us. I pause and narrow my eyes. What the fuck are you talking about? Your failed attempts at sneaking around at night and at the crack of dawn. Care to share where you go? Fuck off. Oh, didn't know you had the ability to be secretive, dear cousin. My, my, I'm officially intrigued. Unintrigue yourself. That's not a word. It can't be your fuck buddies, since you didn't shy away from flaunting them in our faces and disturbing us with your excessive porn shows and extravagant orgies. The fact that they disappeared altogether and you told the guards to kick out your toys whenever they come to the mansion means one thing. Which is, you really do have that ED. Don't make me flash you in public because I'll totally fucking do it. There's a bunch of prudes here, Nico. You'll end up in jail. Don't fucking care. If it's not ED, the only other option is You went exclusive. Fucking Killian and his psycho mind should be banned from existing around me. I'm struggling as it is and barely stopping myself from shouting that I'm off to fuck my lotus flower every night, and I'm gonna give my lotus flower a good morning kiss every day. It should be blasphemous that I'm expected to keep any sort of secret. I'm a muscles guy who prefers speaking with his fists. Everything else needs to fuck right the fuck off. I don't like complicated. I don't do complicated. Anyone who entrusts me with their secrets is a fool. Bran is a fucking fool. But he believes in my discretion. So I can't just advertise the whole unorthodox relationship. Though he'd lose his marbles if I were to call it a relationship. It's a situationship. A deal at best. And a whoring contract at worst. Sometimes it feels like a relationship. Especially after the fire. He started coming to the penthouse more often than not. And the times he can't, he sends me texts like,
"My cousin and brothers are dragging me to this party. If I leave, it'll be suspicious. I'm sorry. Will I see you tomorrow morning?" The girls invited me to their flat, and I can't make up an excuse this time. Glynn is asking if I'm okay because she's growing worried, and I don't want to put that burden on her. I'm really sorry. Can I still see you in the morning?
So, yeah. The first time he didn't come to the penthouse, I ghosted him the next morning as well. But I couldn't keep doing that when he was apologizing and basically begging me to meet him for our runs. He's so fucking adorable. Though I wouldn't tell him that out loud or it'd freak him out. He gets antsy whenever I treat him gently outside of sex. It's like he's scared of the prospect of us growing closer or something. And yet he's the one who does my grocery shopping and cooks for me. I don't remember what all the fancy dishes are called, and I'm pretty sure I don't eat them the right way, considering the way he shakes his head in disapproval, but they taste awesome, which is the whole point behind food, if you ask me. He's the one who stays a bit longer every night, as if he's finding it harder to leave. He comes up with excuses about cleaning up and cooking or finishing the late-night murder mystery, but I know it's because he loves me and wants to be with me more. Okay, he doesn't exactly love me, but I'm totally growing on him. I catch him smiling at my antics, and he does that more now. Smiling, I mean. He also tolerates my flirting more and replies to my texts in a timely manner. I think he even likes filthy texts now. He's become a fan of the dick pics as well, though he often tells me to stop sending them. Sometimes I find him looking at me with this cryptic expression when I'm watching his boring movies. Other times, however, he looks at me as if I'm an alien, which is usually my cue that he'll leave. Other times he locks himself in the bathroom for more than half an hour and comes out distraught, his real expression hidden behind the disturbing control that he wields so well. It doesn't help that whenever I ask him if everything is okay, he lies through his teeth with that fake smile and says the word that I hate the most now. Fine. He's anything but fine. But I don't know how to get him to talk. That is, if I'm supposed to do that when we're not in a relationship. Bran is a vault. No matter how much I bang on the surface, it never cracks. He always, without a doubt, slips behind the steel walls and closes himself off. A tap on my shoulder brings me back to the present, and I find my cousin staring at me.
"Are you thinking about them? A man? A woman? Both?"
"Fuck off, Kill. Honestly, I can't imagine you in a relationship." "Why the fuck not?" I snap. He pauses, raising an eyebrow.
"You're too volatile. Besides, you said you don't want a partner, ever, since you're a free soul and refuse to be tied down."
"Right, I did say that. Fuck, I completely forgot that I actually used to think that way not too long ago. What is it about Bran that makes me want to fucking tie him to me? It's the conquest, right? Just because I have his body, I don't have his soul, and I'm on the edge because I want his everything. Once he hands that over, I'll discard him. Right?"
"So?"
Kill shoves my shoulder with his.
"Who changed your precious set of anti-monogamy rules? You can tell me. Must be killing you to keep it all to yourself."
"You really want to know?" He nods. I beckon him with one finger. "Come here. It's a secret." He inches close, and I smack him on the nape. "Mind your fucking business and stop being nosy." My cousin massages the assaulted spot.
You'll regret that.
Take it as payback for all the times you throw shit at me. I break out in evil laughter and continue strolling down the street. Kill grabs me by the arm and pushes me in the opposite direction. Let's grab a coffee first. And croissants. I stroke my stomach. You think they'll have macarons?
Don't think so.
He watches me.
Since when do you like macarons?
I always have.
No, you haven't. Your sweet tooth usually ends at donuts.
I hum, but say nothing. I might have started indulging in them since Bran brought some once. I finished the whole box in one night and had a mini sugar coma. He started hiding them from me since then and only leaves two pieces out like a stingy asshole.
Kill!
My grouchy cousin's face breaks into a rare, genuine smile at the sound of his girlfriend's voice. She's waving us over to her table with, "My, my." My lips curl into an automatic grin when my eyes meet those stunning blues. For a fraction of a second, he looks like a deer caught in the headlights, his fingers loosening from around his cup. It's a bit similar to his expression last night when I pressed him against the wall as soon as he was out of the elevator and fucked him there until he couldn't stand up straight.
Chill, Kolya, Jesus, man, we're in public.
Does he understand that logic?
No.
Because he's twitching against my pants in pure dick fashion. I know Bran is allergic to being labeled beautiful, but he so is. He's also so elegant and well-groomed. The collar of his shirt is perfectly folded. His cuffs are symmetrically rolled, and every strand of his hair falls into the right place. He's always dressed in refined fashion, and he carries himself with silent charisma. He might bottom and enjoy it, but he's the control freak outside the bedroom. Hot-headed, too, to the point of madness. But no one looks at his fancy manners and can guess he loves it rough. While Glynn and Killian are busy sucking each other's faces off, I slide a chair over and sit beside him. I purposefully sit with my thighs so wide apart, my jeans touch his pants. He continues watching me as if I'm a world wonder, his lips slightly parted. The need to devour those lips beats inside me like an urge, but I force it down and whisper, "You're drooling. Am I that hot?" He swallows and quickly diverts his gaze, choosing to focus on the absurd PDA across from us. Typical Bran. To be honest, I don't know why I keep hoping he'll one day come out in epic fashion and kiss me in front of the world like he loves to do in private. That's just impossible. I suspect he'd rather keep this going for years instead of finally being honest with himself. Not that I care. Once I graduate, I'll be back to my life in New York and he'll return to being the prim and proper London boy.
What a coincidence,
Glynn says after she finally breaks apart from Kill. He taps her nose.
You really think it's a coincidence? Looks like I have a lot more to teach you, baby.
Kill, you evil genius. So he knew she was in this coffee shop with Bran all along, which is why he insisted we grab coffee here. It's nice to know I have a successful stalker cousin. Some might say it runs in the family, since I'm pretty sure I caught Gareth stalking a Mercedes the other day, and he used one of the bodyguard's cars for the mission. What's not nice, however, is the fact that he also uses Baby. Couldn't pick another nickname? I steal a glance at Bran, and he's busy staring at his coffee as if searching for an answer to the fucking universe. Black. No sugar. Like his soul. He's interlinking his fingers, letting them rest on his lap, and I rest my hand on my thigh, close to his, an inch closer, getting high on the warmth emanating off him. Fuck me. He's intoxicating. I simply can't exist in his vicinity and stop myself from touching him. It's torture.
How are you, Nico?